Let's open up our Bibles to Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8. We're in these precious little nuggets that God has just graced us to hear as we go along. Once again, this precious letter, it's so alive. It was written to us this morning, if you will. You know what I'm saying? Philadelphia Saints here at Denver, by the grace of God. And this was a special delivery, amen? And the joy book of the Bible came and graced our hearts. Praise the Lord. It was meant for all of God's precious people, we know that. But thanks be to God that we're receiving Paul's gospel. Thanks be to God we are partakers of Paul's grace. I was just delirious on the phone today talking to my mother. I said, you know, Mom, I know I've got Paul's grace. I've got Paul's grace, Mom. I don't care what anybody else thinks. I know what I got. I got Paul's grace. And you better understand what Paul's grace is. It's all grace. It's all sufficient grace. Praise the Lord. And I'm thankful tonight that we're excited about it. Chapter 2, verse 5. What a wonderful, wonderful encouragement. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Hallelujah. Oh, what he did for you and me. Praise his name. What encouragement to think about what we read here. Brother Copley, so inspired of the Holy Ghost, wrote upon this in the Philippians study book. About the seven steps down that the Lord took. And how wonderful the beauty of our precious Jesus being made the worm on the cross for you and for me. And then right after this, there's the seven steps of ascension, if you will. The glorifying of our precious Lord. And what beauty that we see in all of that. But tonight, God has encouraged, as we really go on with Christ, if we really desire to grow up into him in all things, isn't that something? Grow up into him in all things. What a statement. Paul's alls are pretty overwhelming. And if it wasn't but the grace of God that is with us, we would just shake our heads and say, how could that be? And when we take Paul's grace, we say, well, how could that not be? What can't grace do? What can't grace perform? What can't grace complete? Nothing's hard for the grace of God. Nothing. Praise his name. So, if we'll really allow this to work and we desire this, our way is going to be the same. The way of a cross and a way that takes us that he must increase and I must decrease. It can't be any other way. The winners, brothers and sisters, have one mind. They have one desire. And I thank God for this. Isn't the beauty of our lives being clothed with nothing but grace? Isn't that the beauty of our life? Isn't that the beauty of our life is that our only praise is his mercy? I mean, really, when you just spill over in your life, delirious as David, in a sense, but even beyond, a double portion for us. That someday, with all of this grace and all of this mercy, I believe that he'll complete and perform, that I'll only be found in his righteousness. Amen. There isn't anything I want but him. There's nothing else that I want anybody to see in me but Jesus. And I'm going to tell you something. By the grace of God, that's sincere. I don't want you to see anything but As I told a brother tonight, I said, the only thing I ever want anybody to say by the grace of God about me, that man loved the truth. That's all. I mean, he was crazy. Overboard. He truly had lost his mind because I let the mind of Christ in me. Praise his name. I like that when I can lose my mind. Amen. And there's more glorying in this little section. We know that. It's endless, brothers and sisters. And take in this reality. And you know the Word of God is real. And it's reality. See, that is our reality. The Word of God is our reality. It truly is. The things that we see are temporal. I'm talking about eternity. I'm talking about eternal reality. The things that are unseen. The things that we see by faith. That are made substance, that are made sight, that we see all by the grace of God. And it's so wonderful that the reality that we live in is following Paul as he followed Christ. Amen? Isn't that really your life? By his grace? Amen? I mean, come on. You could say it in all these different ways, but we really get down to it if we're going to be really specific in a short way. By the grace of God, I follow Paul as he followed Christ. I thank the Lord for that. I thank God for that grace. Taking up the cross, praise God, our cross, would be in like similar fashion as Paul. And even with this, the Lord's testimony here to us, the 33 years that he lived upon this earth as one of us, as a man. Wonderful. And think of what is being said here through Paul. And you know the word of God. This is our Lord and Savior speaking to us. Let this mind be in you. The mind of Christ. The mind of Christ. And what does he say right after that? It says, who being in the form of God thought. Oh, what the word of God, the mind of Christ can think. And this thought is not a thought like we're thinking, well, he just thought this. No, this word thought means authority. This thought is government. This thought is it's deemed, meaning it's yea and amen. See, the mind of Christ is yea and amen. When he says it's a thought, it's what is. It's the authority. The mind, or his mind, this word, is the authority. Do you realize that? It's the authority. Whether or not you want to think it's your authority, it is the authority. The word of God will endure forever. The word of God is true. Praise God. It never changes. And it endures and it's perfect. Praise his name. Now, for him, as it says, and he thought, he governed, he deemed its authority. It wasn't robbery for me to be equal with the Father. Because I am that I am. We're one. Praise the Lord. It wasn't taking anything away. It's that precious Trinity. We're three in one. He who has seen me has seen the Father. Think about this precious encouragement. It wasn't robbery for him to be equal with God. And hear him saying this, brothers and sisters, hear him saying this to us as he was made one of us as a man, as he told them, as he told those disciples, he who has seen me has seen the Father. The glory of God is in his face. That's not robbery. That's what is, because he is the authority, because he is the Word. Oh, where is this going? Well, let's see where the Spirit takes us tonight. And this is key here, brothers and sisters. It really is. This word is the authoritative mind. The word is the authoritative mind. Let it be in you. All that you are. What is all that you are? The word. The word. Is not your life Christ that lives in you? May I ask you once again, is that not the word? Did you die when you accepted Christ as Savior? But yet, I live, yet not I, but Christ, the Word, liveth in me. Amen. That's our life. So see, Christ Jesus, as he's encouraging through Paul, knew in this weakened state, being in this flesh, how desperately we need the mind of Christ. See, that's the beauty of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He was made one of us. It wasn't just that he thought this through, just deemed this. He was made one of us. He lived as us. He lived as man. Still is very God, very God. We understand that. That is the difference. And truly, in a way, the only difference. Because we have the same life. We have the same life. But he's God. Isn't that awesome? Oh my. And greater things than I ye shall do. How he treasures faith. How he treasures, praise God, believing the word of God. Now, the mind, if you will, of Christ, complete knowledge of the truth. And authority, because his mind is the word. His mind is the knowledge of his love. And in all faith believing, praise God, because his life is in us. See, that's what's so powerful in this. His life is in us. His life, praise God, lives in me. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. And I think that's such a powerful encouragement. It didn't say I live by the faith in the Son of God, even though we have faith in Christ, we know that. But in that statement there, he's trying to really let us know. We are blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ. We have his life. We have his faith. Now praise be to God. Let his mind. Let this word. Just let you take off. Let you grow up into him in all things. Because it's his life. Amen. Praise God. Now, how wonderful that with his mind, brothers and sisters, we have the mind, with his mind, we have the mind that is obedient to grace. Yes, it is. His mind will always be obedient to grace. See, when we're not obedient to grace, we're not operating in letting his mind in us. We're not letting this truth reign. We're not letting that come into our lives. Obedient to grace, submissive, surrendering to the grace of God. Have you ever thought of that? Have you really surrendered to grace? Have you let grace completely apprehend you? Why would we fight grace off? I don't want that grace because then I can't do anything. Well, let me tell you something. I got news for you. You can't do anything. You can't do anything. It's got to be grace. It has to be the grace of God that is with me. Who would you follow as he followed Christ? Paul, right? Did he not magnify one thing and one thing only? The grace of God that was with me. I am what I am by the grace of God. It wasn't anything else but grace. And I thank God for this. And this mind, which is truth and love mind, which is full of grace and truth mind. Isn't that amazing? Yes. You want to be full of truth, you better be full of grace. Because truly that's what truth is. Because that's what Jesus is. He's grace and truth. Amen? So, when we submit and surrender to grace, believing in grace's all-sufficiency, in that perfect mind and full faith believing, we rest completely in the word of his grace. And you know what I don't think is robbery? To be the Lamb's wife. You see where we're going? I do not think it's robbery to be the Lamb's wife. I do not think it's robbery to be the glory for him of he who said it wasn't robbery for him to be equal with God. Boy, I need a lot of grace to think that ain't robbery. What do you think? Amen? Amen? It's the same grace. It's that wonderful Lord. Hallelujah. I realize that Jesus was and always is very God of very God. But brothers and sisters, we have a calling. We have the vocation. The high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That's it. That's it. That is your calling. People ask me time and time, oh, I wish what God called me. I knew what God called me to. I wish what, you know, all these different things. Let me tell you something. You have a calling. Listen to God. Listen to the truth. The vocation. The high calling of God in Christ Jesus. To win him. The same as Paul that he said, if by any means I might attain to that. To apprehend what has been apprehending me. All this mighty, magnificent grace. And see, with that mind of Christ reigning, brothers and sisters, this word, hallelujah, causes us to be confident in his calling for you. Amen? See, his grace for you provides you all spiritual blessings in heaven to have it and win it. Why would you have all spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ for anyways? Huh? Just to get by? Oh man, we barely got through here. We're talking about all the spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ. Why would he give you all of it? Because he wants you to take it and become all of that glorious grace for him. Isn't this marvelous? I'm serious. I just sit there and go, oh, it's so wonderful. Wonderful. Now, sincerely, hallelujah, when we have this amazing acceptance of grace that we have been provided all of this for one thing, we call those things which be not as though they were. I'm assured that when I see him, I'm going to be like him. Let me tell you something. I ain't getting rid of this flesh, no matter how much you want me to get rid of it. I know some of you. But this is the only camel that's going to ride to take me to the bridegroom. This is it. This is my ride. All right? I don't want any other. And I don't want to get rid of this because this is beautiful to him. Because it's what's taught me, in a way, if you will, how much I need grace and mercy. How much I come to that throne of grace, not groveling, oh, I need grace. No, thanking him, I've got it all. Thanking him that, oh, I'm wonderfully and fearfully made. Oh, hallelujah. For the mother load. If I was made any differently, if I didn't have these thorns, if I didn't have these infirmities, I would have never apprehended the mother load of grace that his grace has caused me to apprehend. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Now, brothers and sisters, abiding as the readied wife for him is abiding in the all-sufficient grace and abiding in praise continually of his mercy. Don't be ashamed of his mercy. Don't be ashamed that you praise him. Oh, Lord, I am so thankful for your mercy. And I'm thankful if you call out and praise him and your life is a delirium of his mercy. I ain't looking down at you. Matter of fact, if anything, I'm looking up at you. Because you get it. Praise God. But then, hallelujah, in that resting in the knowledge of the word, this is, it goes on and on and on. We rest, brothers and sisters, that he will perform the good work of Paul's gospel, bridal glory in you. Isn't that something? See, I do. I rest in that. I rest in his workmanship. I rest in that he will cause me to will and do of his good pleasure. See, I rest in, as we started this precious, wonderful letter, as Paul revealed this heart of God to them. Before he ever got to, he will perform the good work that he's begun in you, which we all love and are so thankful, I mean thankful for. But he's talking specifically to Philadelphia saints in this height of glory. And he's praising God and he's thanking the Lord. Every remembrance of you is a joy. How you encourage my heart. Every time I hit my knees, it's you guys. That's why I'm writing this joy book of the Bible to one church at this time. These are the saints that are going to receive it. And why? Because you stayed with my gospel from the first day until now. You stayed in it. And that's it. It didn't say they did this and they performed that and they walked like this and they did all these deeds. No, they just stayed with the gospel. They loved it. That was their joy and rejoicing. When they got together, that was their fellowship, was Paul's gospel. And that's why Paul said to them shortly thereafter, matter of fact, I think one verse, ye are partakers of my grace. Isn't that something? It's like, I've embraced it. I own it. I know that I am my beloved's, and his desire is toward me. I'm a prisoner of his love, but it's because he's always been captivated by me. Isn't this awesome? I mean, that's what's so crazy. This is God. This is God that loves you like this. This is how he's after you. This is what he's just there. Come on, honey. I mean, I love you. I'm not going away. I'm just pouring it forth more and more. So we rest in this knowledge of the word of his grace. Amen. And thinking it not robbery to be his bride, because we trust in this truth and love doctrine, don't we? See, truth in love. I trust in that. It's not robbery. It's not an insult. It's not boasting except in him and the word of his grace. How marvelous this is. We go on continuing to be transformed from glory to glory, more and more and more like him. Amen. And what's so beautiful is then we live abundantly, letting his love in us edify others through us. Now, how does that really happen? By the grace of God. We become transparent. We really do. I thank the Lord. Oh, we can think we're great orators. We can go out there and think, oh, I got this great gift. And man, I'll tell you what, I walk such a walk. Everybody got to look at me, look at my kids, and look at my household, and look at. No. No. Uh-uh. They don't even see you if it's real. They see Jesus. They see truth and love. They see the word of his grace. Those that are looking for that. Now, I don't care what the other ones look. Tell me what I look like. I know that that's going to be a lot of ugly things they're going to say. But the ones that are looking for that, that's what they're going to see. And I'm going to tell you something, which is so wonderful. What happens when we become in that sincerity, we take on no reputation. All of our glory is in the Lord. Just as our Lord, just a man, humbled himself, became obedient. Isn't this wonderful? It shows us there's no other way to ever being obedient without being humbled first. Aren't you thankful in his faithfulness he afflicts you? Because without that, you would not be humble. Without all your mess ups, without all the things you want to get rid of, Paul, I don't care how many times you tell me about that thorn, honey. I love you too much. It ain't coming out. It's staying right there. Because if I took that away, you would be exalted. You would be magnified. Praise you, Jesus. How wonderful to see the grace of God. Oh, and new heights and depths. Oh, my. Now, there's no other way to be humbled without love and thankfulness for the grace and mercy that only can humble us, that gives us a vision of why we should be glad to be humbled and lowly. Are you thankful in all things? Are you thankful when he humbles you? Amen, honey. You got to see this. Are you thankful sometimes, really? Oh, Lord. Instead of looking in the mirror and saying, oh, my goodness, what a wreck, what a wretch, what it is. Oh, thankful Jesus. What a wreck, what a wretch. Oh, golly, this is marvelous. That's a work of grace. It's got to be. Can't be anything else. True vessels of humility see the magnificence. True vessels of humility see the magnificence of where his grace has taken you from and where his grace is taking you to. That's it. Those are vessels of humility. They see that magnificence. They see that. You never forget it. Those that are in love, the whole truth and love doctrine, are the most lowly, humble people in Christ there are. Oh, yes. Did you hear what I said? That are in love with the whole truth and love doctrine. Not in love with themselves because they know the truth and love doctrine. Do you understand that? You can be in love with yourself because you know the truth and love doctrine. Instead of being in love with the truth and love doctrine. There's a big difference. And those that are in love with that doctrine, they will be the most lowly, humble people in Christ there are. Because their life is continually a praise of grace, they are covered with the praise of his mercy. I believe by the grace of God, well, that might be in about the fifth time we said that tonight. I guess I'm on track for something, amen? It should be. Would there be any other praise? Would there be any other boasting? Would there be any other glorying but his grace and his mercy? There is but one glorying, and that is the blood. And only the claim of victory is the cross. They as Paul, praise God, they are as Paul. They know they too. Do you know this too in a sense? Oh, Paul, I'm the chief of sinners that's been given this unspeakable riches of his grace. Huh? Now get out of the way. I am. I know who I am. I'm bad. I need grace. I need mercy. And it's wonderful. And I get so illuminated and captivated by that grace and mercy that you know what? All that bad stuff kind of doesn't have time. Is it still there or not? I don't know. Matter of fact, it don't matter. I'm just at the throne of grace. Praise God. It's a wonderful place to be, isn't it? Hallelujah. Now, the more and more you grow in grace, the more you see the reality of ruling and reigning with him, the more you see the reality of glorified together with him, and the sincerity that it's all mercy that gave that to you. Right? When you really see that in its light and take that from him and take his hand, it's just, you see the sincerity of mercy. The more lowly, humble, completely transparent, to magnify only Jesus. It's all the Lamb. It's all his great love and grace that's with me. I'm so thankful how many years We saw the pinky come up here. If I could clip this pinky finger now. I love when I'd hear that. I'd always kind of wonder why when I was a little bit younger. But then I started to get it. Don't be trying to clip a pinky finger now. He's so marvelous. He is so worthy to be praised and thanked, and for us to be joyous that he has taken all of our guilt. That there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. That whom he has made free is free in. Do you think he wants me skipping through that grace like that? Do you think he wants me to just truly, basically take off my clothes and just be excited in the liberty of Christ that I'm in? I could surprise you someday. But I love him. I adore him because of his grace and mercy. How he loves us. It truly, Lord, thank you that we're smitten because of this. See, proud Christians, the legal mind, thinking I'm obedient. I'm not obedient to anything except one thing, and that's grace. I'm not going to be obedient. Well, you know, you need somebody to watch you. Well, go ahead and watch. Go ahead and do what you want. But I'll tell you one thing. You ain't seeing me. There's no way. God help us. A fiber of pride is seen afar off to God. I don't want to be afar off in that vision. I don't want to be as one of the sons of the prophets that's afar off looking and beholding that glory because of what he did for me on the cross, for what he lived for me to have, what he sent the Holy Ghost for him to perform in me. This mighty God that is so involved and wrapped up in me. I want this for him. I want this for him. I want to be, by the grace of God, this glory for him. I remember there was a time, oh, what can I do for you, Lord? What can I do? Oh, thank you, God. I left those childish things behind. Son, just take of the cup of salvation and drink. See, you got to give him your time. All he wants is you. And all of you. You know that, right? Oh, this jealous God, and he loves you with a godly jealousy. He not sharing. He wants you. It's the humble and the brokenhearted. It's the contrite spirit Christian. They are the ones that get the grace to be obedient to grace. Do you want the grace to be obedient to grace? Amen. I want that. Amen. I want the grace to be obedient to grace. I don't want to be obedient to Jesse's mind. I don't want to be obedient to somebody else's thoughts. I don't want to have anything to do with man's mind. Amen. I don't. I want to be obedient to grace. So obedient that it's all glory. Hallelujah. That I died and only Christ, praise God, is living in me. Even though that's the truth. How about live it? How about love it? How about rejoice and thank him till you see him for it? Amen. See, praise be to God. We are becoming obedient, if you will, to his death, his magnificent love and devotion that gave us all this grace to love him so. That there's no other life that I really want to live. I just want to hear him. I just want to hear him. want to hear his word. I want to be around people that really are sincerely in love with the Lord. I don't want to do what anybody else thinks I should do. I want to be with him and let him do what he wants to do. Amen. And I want to be where he wants me to be. Amen?
Amen?
Yeah. I don't want to be thinking. I really don't. I want his mind. I want to trust in his leading. I want to trust every day I get up. I mean, he's got the before ordained good works that I should walk through. And I'm not trying to devise my ways. I'm just walking by faith. He loves me so he's strewn out my path. I can have that confidence in God that I'm not going to micromanage me because, oh, what a meager life in Christ I'll live. I want more truth. I want more grace. You want to be ready? Lord, get me delirious for this. Stop my mind from these things. Let this mind be in me. And closing this up, just as his ascension in verses 9 through 11. We got to read this because it's so amazing. My eyes are so watery, I almost can't see it. There's that. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Well, here you go. I'm raised and I'm seated together with him in the heavens in Christ. Amen.
Amen.
And I'm believing by his grace. Hallelujah. He's going to write a new name on me. Now, wait a second. It said there that he'd been given a name, which is above every name. Oh, yes. And he's going to write a new name on me. Oh, yeah. Matter of fact, bridegroom, bride, by the grace of God all over me, that I will be with him by his grace at his side as that Philadelphia church. And he will have them come before us and bow down before my feet. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. Oh, what he will share with her. Glorified together. Uh-oh. Did you fight off that grace? Oh, that's just too much grace. What wouldn't you want your lover to share with you? Is there something that you would keep back if it was truly first love? Everything.
Amen.
As the king said to Esther, honey, what's mine is yours. What can I do for you today, honey? And he will make known to all about that wonderful Philadelphia church that he has loved you. And because of his mind, brothers and sisters, we think it not robbery. Because of his mind, don't think it robbery to be his bride. Receive it. Receive it. She's going to jointly rule and reign with him. Glorified together with him. That's why it had to be his mind. His authoritative mind. That he thought it not robbery. See, only his mind can give you that authoritative mind. Deemed. Because worthy is my lamb. Worthy is my lamb. Worthy is my husband. And if my husband says it's so, it's so. Praise God. Let's stand and be dismissed. Thank you, Jesus.